Oh, that's right. You're in for a good one here this afternoon. I have the one and only Jane Jenkins Herlong, beauty queen, author, humorist, survivor.
Survivor. That's the best one.
How you doing today, Jane?
I'm good. Had a good time in Greenwood speaking for the chamber for their small business person of the year, Dr. Stoddard.
Yes.
Dentist.
Yes.
Yeah. Wonderful man. His wife, Tara, I believe. Right. Nice, nice people.
Yep. I knew them when he was still going to school, and they were young married people. And so I have known them forever. And they have been for 34 years, I think it is. He's been a dentist now, but he was just finishing up school and everything. And we had come to Greenwood, and they have a daughter and a son, and daughter has a law practice here now and has a child. And, you know, it's just amazing how life moves on, doesn't it?
Oh, it does. And he was such an appreciative recipient, and lots of his office folks were there.
That's
and
terrific.
He just gave them a lot of credit. I mean, people that are successful like that, they always are there because they've stood on somebody else's shoulders. And
sure.
Those are the kinds of folks you love to see win awards.
So, absolutely.
Kudos to Dr. Stoddard. Yes.
Yep, Tommy Stoddard, great addition to the Small Business Person of the Year. But speaking of being out there and promoting and everything, my God, Jane, you
gracious.
Are one busy woman.
I know. I don't like to sit around. Yeah, when the Rhinestones on my flip-flop launched, I just hit the ground running, barefoot.
Didn't have time to put your shoes on?
Nothing. I mean, the journey of promoting, and I mean, everybody was going, oh, you got a nice contract with Hachette, which is one of the major publishers out of New York, which I was very thrilled. But as you and I discussed, you don't sit back and put your feet up and think, wow, I'll just let them do it. You got to dive in and get saturated.
Well,
so I saturated.
Everybody who is an author is doing a book tour somewhere. Last
yes.
night on the Jim Bohannon show, I tuned in. I was on my way home. I said, who is that? It was Joe Lieberman. He's got a book coming out.
Joe
Lieberman.
Joe.
Yeah.
And Condoleezza Rice just released a book.
Yes.
Yeah.
So books releases, but they all have to do the same thing to get those top seller, get the mojo going, get
right.
people interested in their books. You can't just put it out there and say, here it is, folks.
And that's what a lot of small publishers struggle. Like, I was with a small publishing house before I got the Hachette contract, and the guy would call me and say, I can't believe all the stuff you're doing. My other authors just, you know, they just think, well, I just don't know about getting out there. And I'm thinking, what? Get me out there. I will do this.
Yeah.
I mean, I worked it.
Well, you know, we used to do a lot of antique shows.
Mm-hmm.
And we'd watch the antique dealers that would sit there and be reading a book and expecting people to come in their booth and find something and just say, here, I'll take this.
Yes.
We were the hawkers. Come on over here. Come on down.
Well, I had a book signing at Barnes & Noble in Augusta. And I paid my daughter and her friend to go around and tell people to come over and meet me.
Right.
And then every 30 minutes when they would come and meet me, they put their name in a pot and we would give away all these fun things.
Right.
Like plaques and towels and it was just too fun. Flip-flops, you name it. And we sold probably 50 books and they were elated over that. So, I don't have a massive platform. I mean, it's not like I've got a show on television every day where
right.
people just buy my book.
Right.
So, that's what always makes it a challenge is you got to keep working your own platform without bugging people to death and find other platforms, whether it be podcast, whether it be blogging, Instagram, the whole deal. And it's a constant change of technology. Constant. And you've just got to keep up with it. Like you and I talked about, if you're passionate about it, you work it. You work it hard. That's what keeps you engaged. It's not the money. I mean, I'm done with that. I mean, I got to have the money, like you said. It's expensive.
Yes.
But that's not the big focus. If the focus is the message, then you'll keep working. You'll love to get up in the morning. Absolutely. Like I had to this morning with the Sleep Number people at my door. Yes, at 8 o'clock.
Did you get one of those Sleep Number
beds? I've had one. Yes. Over the years, it's tilted, and I'm one side of me is just unhappy. And now we're going to be balanced tonight. I'm thrilled.
So they're a good bed?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, I just wondered.
Well, Thomas got thrown up in the rafters by a bull, and he's needed something. You know, sometimes it hurts, and the mattress has to be softer. I'm not promoting necessarily.
Right.
But for us, with his issues, it helps. So, yes.
That's good.
So, anyway, that was our big surprise this morning.
Okay. Well, you know, one of the things that you also do, you do a lot of public speaking, and you were inducted into the Speakers Hall of Fame. There's another thing that happened. Was that 2 years ago?
Almost 2 years ago this summer. That was tremendous for me. I was just still so excited about it because it opened up a whole nother layer of experience with these peers that are amazing speakers, and they're just the best. So just to be in that group, I'm just still a pinch me moment. I'm still so honored. I wrote my speech my very first convention.
Yeah?
I wrote my speech. I even in my speech receiving my Speaker Hall of Fame, I quoted my speech back, and then I paused and said the date, and everybody went, oh.
You had a plan.
I had a plan.
You had a plan. I love it when a plan comes together.
And that was in 1990.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes.
And that was 2015, 2006.
Yes.
Yeah, 2015. Yes. Yeah.
So, got to have a plan. Without vision, the people perish.
You know, you do travel and you do speaking so much all over the country. What would be some of the, what makes it work? What do you think is your niche as far as how you present yourself for speaking?
My favorite audience, I will have to say, was Mobile this past Saturday. It's called Junior Auxiliary. And they're women that help children or have lots of philanthropic, and this is big money. Mm-hmm. This is like $200,000 projects. You have to be asked to join.
Wow.
It's not in South Carolina. They're starting, but it's mostly Mississippi, Alabama. So all these beautiful women. When I got there, I said, it's like, I felt like I was at Miss America. In Atlantic City, I went in my room and blew out my hair. I mean, everybody was gorgeous, but they are not only beautiful in their outside, they have a heart of service on the inside. And I gave them money. I mean, I believe in what they're doing. And Southern women that have a heart to serve, I mean, that is a ringer for me. And I just talk about keeping yourself focused, being balanced, learning how to deal with unusual circumstances, unusual people, because they open themselves wide open. Some of them actually have young girls living with them, not adopted, but because the women are old enough to say, I'm not going back to my drug addict mother and my sister who's a prostitute. I want better than this. And the stories were fantastic. So I love those groups. And I just keep talking about, I think I did, the speech was called Rhinestones on My Flip-Flops, and I'm a three-pointer. So my first point was choose wisely, shoes instead of choose. Don't let anyone lower your stilettos. Of course, I tell Southern stories packed underneath.
Right.
And then the third one was, golly, what was the third one? Oh, when life flips, do not be a flop.
That's
put
a
rhinestones.
Big one.
Yes.
That's a big one.
Because you've had a flip-flop.
Oh, my goodness.
Honey.
Yeah, we've had lots of travails, and you got to just keep picking yourself up and going. Sometimes, though, when you get through that road and you stop and you go, OMG.
You when you start thinking about where you are and what you're doing, it's like, don't think. Just don't think. And then there'll be a time. I put this in my book, and it's not my original quote. But you live life forward and understand it backwards.
That's a good one.
Yes.
Yeah, that is a good one.
And your rearview mirror is small for a reason. You can't keep pulling that past up so it stops you from having a great future. You can't do that. There just becomes an age where you just got to quit blaming everybody and just take responsibility. And then you're free. You're just totally free. So
that's a hard point to get to.
Very hard. And I'm just thankful.
Young people, I think, have a particularly hard time getting to that point. I mean, you have to be a little older, I think, to get to that point.
You do. And my pet peeve is seeing people still whining. Like, I've got a chapter in my book about whiny Naomi.
Yes.
Whining about, and it was sad. Now, I'm not taken away from that. But when your girlfriends and my girlfriends are friends, instead of saying, hey, how are you? And they answer the phone and you've got the same issue and they say, instead of hello, now what?
Yes.
And it's time for
I
you
just
to,
read that.
Yeah, now what?
Or they put it on, oh, it's you. Message, ignore.
Yeah, or an emoji, little smiley face or something like that. Like, oh, I am not going there again. Yeah. I've already said what I need to say. I'm not going to say it again.
You know, I think that is so true, but I think girlfriends can be so important in pulling you through something, but you don't want to take advantage of it. Isn't that what
yes,
you're really saying?
That's
here?
Exactly right. I mean, I've leaned on my girlfriends to help me through lots of things, and we lean on each other. But there comes a time, well, if I can't have a healthy attitude about it and walk in forgiveness mm-hmm. when that makes sense, then I might need to go visit somebody and stroke a check. There comes a time.
Right, exactly. Now, you talk about wow women.
Oh, I love that part.
I love that. Well,
yeah.
Tell us about that.
Well, I've had several. I think the woman that I think of now is Miss Virginia Honeycutt, who's since passed away. Wonderful sense of humor. She day traded. I mean, on her little iPad in her 90s. Like, oh my gosh. Talked about her stocks and whatnot. Well, she developed COPD and had to have oxygen. It's in my book. And the book is edgy. Although it's a faith words book, I've got edgy stuff in there. And I told the people, I says, edgy. So if y'all don't, you know, throw me out, throw the chapter out. But I kept telling Miss Honeycutt, we got to get your sense of humor back. That's your gift. Because she was so down about this oxygen. So I went to see her one day, and she had her oxygen. And then the tank I saw was in a little dog stroller. And I said, Miss Honeycutt, let me help you. She said, oh, no, that's LB. He'll be fine. I said, LB? She said, little bastard. So, see, she laughed.
Right.
And it helps give you a moment of levity where you realize, you know what? I'm the only person that's going to be able to deal with this. And I've got to find some humor. So she got that fabulous sense of humor of hers back. And I was privileged to speak at her service. And I was honored because she was a true wow woman. Woman of wisdom. And then the men got to have the mo's now.
Right.
Yes. Got to have the mo.
Yes.
Men of wisdom.
Men of wisdom.
Yes. I've got lots of wows in my life. I'm so thankful.
Well, you know, the woman that actually helped raise you.
Tootsie.
Yes. I was reading the one about how you just couldn't make good biscuits.
Oh, goodness. She laughed so hard. She fell on her knees. And she'd say, Jan, those look like rocks. And she'd laugh and laugh and laugh. She tried. But she was wise. And I loved her wisdom.
And she taught you so much.
Oh, my goodness. When I'd introduce her to boyfriends, she said, that man go bust up your heart. And, you know, gullah, just straight gullah.
Right.
I have a whole gullah program that I do. And it's a lot of fun. I talk about all the gullah wisdom that I learned from the culture. That really is my family now. When I go down to John's Island, I go see them. I straight to Anna's store, and Anna's one of my wow women. I just love them. A lot of those folks work for my daddy. They love my daddy because my daddy was kind, and my grandfather was kind. So they say, that's Mr. Benjamin's daughter, and they just embrace me. But Tootsie kept saying, don't go there now. He said, that boy he's going to break up your heart, and I would just be so resentful. Then he just broke up my heart, honey. She saw it. And I always
and
made
sure. And
you
never trusted it, though, did you,
never,
at the time?
Never, until
right.
She was right. And every other person, they got the Tootsie filter.
Yes.
No way.
Yep.
She was incredible.
And she did so. She was part of your family.
Oh, 50 years. 50 years. I look at the clock sometimes when I'm at home, and it's 9 o'clock, and I would always run down the road to pick up Tootsie. And 2 o'clock, she'd go home. And then after that, we'd go shop, and we'd just pal around, go to places she wanted to go to take care of things. And we just loved her. She was my second mother.
And of course, you know, this isn't your only book, because Rhinestones on My Flip-Flops is your newest one.
Right.
But you've written several books.
Yes, Bury Me With My Pearls. My grandmother told my mother to bury her with her pearls. And as my mother told me that story, we were actually in the hospital, and I said, man, this could be a book. When you think about
pearls. Did you feel bad? Your grandmother is dying here, and you go, this could be a book.
This is a book. Oh, well, actually, my grandmother had passed away, and this was about 25 years later, and my mother was in the hospital, and she was saying, you know, her mother said, bury me with my pearls.
Right.
And I just kept thinking, that is a book title. But I knew it had to be humorous, because I'm a humorist.
Right.
And I couldn't find humor, because Mama just got sicker and sicker, and then we had some family issues that were devastating to my mother and to me. And that became part of the book, The Dark Pearl. The dark pearls, you define them. It does not define you. Don't let it wear you. You wear it. There's a big difference.
Yes, there is.
So you can't let that, you be known as the person who, comma, blah, 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 blah. You want to be known as the person who had a situation, another comma, but man, they taught us how to go through those hard times. I love that.
Yeah, I do, but don't you think sometimes when you're hit so many times with hard times, you go, Lord, why me?
That's right.
How many times do I have to go through this? Why can't I break through
And that's the mystery, and in my life as a follower of the teachings of Christ, I just keep praying, God, just help me know that there is a purpose in this, that you are doing this for a greater good. And then you get encouragement, and then you can wake up the next morning and put one foot in front of the other. But you're right. Sometimes you cannot see. It is so dark.
Right.
And it's so dismal. And there are a lot of people that go through darkness, a lot.
And I have a lot of pain for long periods of time.
Oh, a lot of pain. A lot.
And so it's very, very tough to have that positive spirit.
It is. And I think that you just need to be honest about it and say, you know, this is horrible. I don't know if I can make it through this. I just don't know. I am so burdened. And I think that's when that pivotal point, my friends were a great source of encouragement, but I hired a counselor because I had to get through this.
Right.
Because it was becoming so much a part of me, which is so unhealthy. And I kept saying, there's got to be some gain from this pain. And it has been. And it's been amazing with the books and the speaking and the women that come up to me. Because that book, Rhinestones, is about every single emotional issue women deal with. And successfully, how do we do this? We go to our go-to women of the Bible, our standard women, not dig deep in the Bible. You have Eve, deceived Eve, a domestic diva Martha, whiny Naomi, salty Mrs. Lot. She didn't want to, my friends now, their spouses are passing away. They don't want to move ahead without them. They're trying. And my mother did this for 3 years. Tootsie cooked middle day meal for Daddy who wasn't coming home.
Oh, my gosh.
I went, oh, my gosh, y'all. Let's go to lunch. Let's do something fun. Daddy's not coming home. But they were so used to that lifestyle. You know, and I like order. Right. And I like the pendulum to swing, the iambic pentameter of life. I mean, I like that. But there comes a time, you know.
You got to break out.
You do.
And you have to change things up, and you have to give it a try. Even if you go back to where you were because it was comfortable, okay. But you've got to try to break through.
That's right. You've got to keep saying, what is the purpose here? This is something that I'm supposed to do. And, I mean, you know, sometimes you got to get a backhoe and dig and keep digging because it doesn't make any sense.
Is how low can you go?
That's right.
How low can you go?
Very true.
It is tough to do. And I think women have, I know men have their trials, but I think women, because they are depended on in so many different aspects.
Yes.
I mean, and, you know, I look back on the time when Jeff and I had lived together for several years and we were doing business together, and it was great. And every Monday we'd get in the car and we'd go call on people and do antiques, and it was awesome. Okay. And then we got married on a Friday, and on Monday I was like getting ready to go to work, and Jeff looked at me and he goes, where are you going? I said, what do you mean, where am I going? I'm going with you. And he goes, well, we're married now. I thought you could stay home and make the telephone calls and make the appointments. We had the biggest, not truly knockdown drag out, but it was a huge argument. I look back on that day now, Jane, and said, Anne, what was wrong with you? You could have stayed home.
Oh. No. I'm glad you didn't. I wouldn't be here. You wouldn't be doing what you're doing.
See? Right. But still, you know, right. We all think, and sometimes we think what we want out of life is not really what we should be doing.
Oh, so true.
Yeah.
So true. And it's going to come for a full circle if we just keep trying to find, like this morning with the speech I did, I talked about don't throw tomatoes at my field of dreams. And I said, you know, I had to find my shine. I had to shine up the tomatoes to sell them. And that was my little business I did to help my daddy help me through college. And I said, what's your shine? You know, a lot of times it takes a while. I mean, I've got a wonderful son. He's 29, but honey, he's still at Clemson.
He's enjoying the life.
He's trying to find his shine. And
that's what he keeps telling you anyways. Yeah.
And we keep joking and saying he's getting his PhD. And somebody said, oh, that's impressive. I said, no, Pizza Hut delivery. That would be the PhD. But we try to find some levity in it. But he's doing great now because he's found what he loves after three majors.
Oh, it's good that he found it.
Oh, my goodness. Now,
it's good that he can stay there. It's good that he can stay and continue to do that.
And I heard an expert on parenting. It's so interesting. She said, quit telling your children they're smart. They get a certain age. Quit doing that. They've got to learn to work. Say to them, I am so proud of you for working hard.
Well,
because the saw research documented two controlled groups of children, the ones that were told, I'm so proud of you because you're smart. They had so much stress because they have to maintain that smart. And a lot of them they found were cheating because they had to stay smart.
Right.
And they didn't want to challenge themselves and do something different for fear they wouldn't be smart. But this other group, you go, I'm so proud of you for working hard. So when I got up to speak after I heard her, I said the first thing I said was, I called my son, Jessica. I called my son. I told him, by the way, you're not smart. And everybody just roared. And I said, did I miss something?
Yeah.
And we just laughed about it.
Yeah. Well, that is so true.
Very true.
What they're finding is not everybody needs to go to college to be successful.
Listen, I'm a commissioner with Piedmont Tech. When I see those kids graduate, some of them get a job from a wonderful hands-on experience from that college.
Right.
Some of them go on to 4-year. It is a wonderful opportunity. Wonderful.
Yeah. Work is a four-letter word that's a good word. If you can, in today's economy, being able to support yourself is so important.
It is. And doing something that you love and care about. That's huge.
That is huge.
Yeah.
And the ability to do it is a gift. Hey, let's hear South Carolina radio news. We'll be back. Don't you go away. The antique vintager has arrived in Greenwood. He's been in Greenwood, but he's been incognito. Now unveiled for the very first time, the antique vintager, the one and only Jeff Eller, is debuting on the national stage with his podcast. Shouldn't you be one of the first to come in and see him and see what you have with What's It Worth? Can you sell it? Do you want to sell it? And should you sell it? Only the antique vintager can tell you such things. So come and see us at 637 Durst Avenue East. Call first for your appointment. 864-229-6613. The antique vintager Jeff Eller is in the building. Oh, that's right. We're right back here on WCRS having a fascinating interview right here with the one and only Jane Herlong. Yes, she is here, Jane Jenkins Herlong. She was a beauty queen.
Yes, I was. World
yes,
peace.
I was.
World peace.
World peace. Kumbaya.
Yes. Love your dress. Hope you win.
Liar, liar, pants on fire.
No. I hope you win. I hope you win. You're thinking, I hope you trip.
And hand me the crown.
Give me that crown.
You know, we were just talking off the air about beauty pageants and, you know, how that was such a great experience. And it still is a great experience, but how it's changed in today's world.
It really has, because so many young women are going to other phases of competition. which is great. In other words, soccer, baseball, basketball. Caroline, my daughter, loves softball. And she was like junior miss, and she enjoyed that. But there are girls that continue to strive to go to the Miss America pageant as well. And it's like we were talking about, it's a crash course in life. It's, as Phyllis George said, it's getting a PhD in people. It really is. So you learn about yourself. You learn about your talents. You learn about how to be physically fit. You learn about how to have a presence in GAN. Oh, and the communication. And many times these girls that go through the program and don't win will be sitting in an interview. And several people have told me the guy interviewing them stops and says, "Where did you learn how to interview like this?" And they said, "Pageant competition." So it's a win.
Right.
They go on and do amazing things.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So it's a springboard. It truly is.
And you were talking about how the four, you and I were talking off the air about the four parts and how that works into life.
It does. It does. So when you think about it, the most important phase of competition at Miss America is the interview. You have got to be good in that interview. You got to learn how to look at people. You got to learn how to pause. You got to learn how to get your point across. You have to be clear. That's a secret of success in life.
Exactly.
Communication skills, good ones, knowing what the next question is going to be, knowing yourself, knowing what's going on in the world, going to a cocktail party and being able to talk to the CEO, communication. Then you have lifestyle and fitness. That's just how you treat yourself physically,
right.
What you eat, if you work out, taking care of your mind and your body. So you'll have the stamina to get up on Monday morning and hit the ground running. Flying is hard. I mean, I got in at 3 a.m. driving out of Charlotte. I was so thankful. I'm not a gym guru, but I go enough to be able to drag the luggage and get the plane and get myself together. But it's just good to take care of yourself.
Sure.
Then you've got GAN. Well, GAN is style and how you present yourself. And many times people will not be able to speak to you, but they will see you. So how do you conduct yourself? What is your branding statement? What is it about you that's so cool that you just have your own unique way of doing things? That's just your presence. And then the last one is a talent. And I think everybody needs to cultivate something they can do within like a profession. Like I have friends that can bake cookies that I can't quite do. There is no demeaning in that. Oh, yes, like in my book.
Okay.
I mean, that's a talent. Giving things away.
Well, a team is a talent.
Sewing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just if you have a craft or a skill, painting, singing, sharing, visiting the elderly, being able to do something that is so unique that really gives you joy. Like we're talking about the women in Mobile mm-hmm. with what they do for these young girls. That is just their heart passion. That is, they have a talent within their talent. And I think that needs to be cultivated.
And, well, just like you were talking about with a team has talent. Each person on the team has a particular
right.
talent.
Like with my niece, she's an incredible soccer player, my great niece. Well, I mean, her job is to defend the goal. I mean, she is dang good at that. She does a great job. So that's her talent within the team talent.
Sure.
So we all have that special thing that we do really well. So you capitalize on that.
And I think those are life lessons. But what makes pageants different today?
It doesn't have all the press. I mean, Miss America, of course, especially what happened with the CEO recently, Sam Haskell. That was just so not cool. What they got their hands on that was said about it. I think her name was Mallory. She was Miss America a couple of years ago. And just the talk, and it just kind of became public. That was one big bad hit. But it's just the fact that a lot of people look at it as being antiquated, self-serving, and so many girls just are not attracted to that like they used to be. But I think it's the most amazing self-improvement course ever. Even if you want to go through the system one time, you learn what looks good on you. You learn how to do your makeup. You learn how to present yourself, like we talked about for like GAN competition. But it is a great, and then you learn you have a philanthropy project and you learn how to go out in the community and help do something, whether it's like an ADD thing that you help tutor, or you raise money for some organization like breast cancer awareness. There are all kinds of things these girls are challenged to do. So you learn how to give back, and that's massive.
Absolutely.
But it's just not what it used to be. I mean, it used to be Hollywood. One girl overnight becomes the most beautiful woman in South Carolina, goes to the Miss America pageant. But it still has that gorgeous glamour, but it's just not as big. I mean, they're struggling to get some network exposure, Miss
Sure.
America. Miss America was made by TV. Marianne Mobley, I think she was the first one that got to hit the airways on television. And it just became an overnight sensation, kind of like the first reality show. You
Sure.
think about it, reality TV.
Sure. And now we have Dancing with the Stars.
Yeah, everybody loves it.
Yes, exactly. All right. Well, let's hear a quick word from our sponsors. When we come back, I got some more questions. I want to ask Jane about Sarah Huckabee Sanders and that fiasco Saturday night at the press dinner. So we're going to talk a little bit about that. And who knows what else we'll talk about. So why don't you stick right with us right here on WCRS.
McDonald's presents Confessions of an Ex-Hipster.
I loved cappuccinos, so I put on an itchy turtleneck and grew a goatee. But before I knew it, I was into French films, indie rock, and not bathing. Luckily, I got help from McDonald's McCafe cappuccinos. Now I'm watching football, wearing khakis, even high-fiving again. Thank you, McDonald's.
New McCafe mochas, lattes, and cappuccinos from McDonald's. With fresh ground espresso and real steamed milk, it's all the coffee, hold the attitude. At participating McDonald's.
Visit your local McDonald's in Greenwood and Abbeville today.
Oh, that's right. We're right back here with Jane Jenkins Herlong, former beauty queen, former Miss South Carolina, who has represented us very well through all the years and really used that as a springboard to her success that she is reaping here today. But as she keeps explaining to me, Anne, you just got to keep going. You can't stop anywhere. You
complacency.
Just got to keep going.
Oh, yeah. Complacency is the enemy. Like Dr. Nito Cubains, a friend of mine, president of High Point University, said the worst thing you can do is think you don't have to do anything else.
Well, it's true. We don't have that as a problem, Jane.
Nope. Nope.
But I wanted to ask you, the Sarah Huckabee Sanders at the press dinner the Saturday night, I just have such a problem. You know, it seems like somebody should have jumped up and stopped that woman.
I think so, too. She, to me, as a person, people have called me a comedian. I cannot stand dirty humor. I think it is so unimaginative. Clever humor is really so hilarious.
Sure.
I mean, anybody can drop F-bombs, and it's terrible. And I felt so sorry for her. And I know people can say, well, Trump does it. Well, she didn't deserve that. She's not him. You want to go after him, go after him. Leave her alone.
Absolutely.
You know, she's a mother. What if one of her children saw that?
Absolutely.
You know, that's heartbreaking. I mean,
and she sat there just as a lady, I'll say,
yes.
and took it.
And her dad's a Baptist preacher, Mike.
Yeah, Mike Huckabee.
But
yep.
the good part was several people came up afterwards and just hugged her. And they said that she looked like she was on the verge of tears. I really couldn't tell. But I just kept saying, oh, I'm so embarrassed for you. Oh, I'm so embarrassed for you. And I don't care what party's in position. That was wrong.
Absolutely.
That was wrong. But see, she's getting so much press off of that. It's like any kind of publicity is better than no publicity at all. So she thinks she did great. She was on NPR yesterday. She
Wolf,
did great.
The comedian.
Yeah.
The comedian.
I have
yes.
no respect for that.
No,
none.
I don't either.
Zero.
And what was Griffin's decided that she's not going to apologize.
Disgusting.
She took back her apology
yeah.
of Trump's head.
Right. That's disgusting. I mean, I have no use for any of that or any of those people. I'm sorry. I just don't. I just won't participate in anything that would put money in their pockets. I'm just not.
Well, I think it is, and particularly when there's so many ways to make a point, and yet
so many different ways you can say it in a whole different way. I mean, they showed a clip of Don Rickles at the Reagan huge event, and it was a campaign speech, and it was so, you know, Don Rickles, I think he's still with us, but he was hilarious. I mean, he was funny. He had the physical comedy. And there's so many clean comedians out there. I mean, that nobody knows. I mean, I do know, like, Andy Andrews, a Baptist preacher's son. He's hilarious. He's got clever comedy. And there are a lot of good people that they could have had come in there instead of this person that just, you know, just felt like she could make traction from these terrible comments.
And don't you find it interesting that now that the people who hired her to come to this, we didn't have any idea?
Right.
What a cop out. Yes, what a cop out.
They should come out with a stronger apology than, oh, we don't represent. But this is all part of the game. This is traction. However you get it. Muddy, dirty, clean, it's publicity. And this is the way we live now. Outlandish comments, outlandish statements that are just godless. But hey, you look at me. I was on the news all day. News cycle.
I got 50,000 tweets. I've got this. I got that many followers now.
Yeah, somebody, put me in. Look at all this Instagram following I have now. Look at this, and that's what it's about. It's not about character. It's not about doing the right thing. It's about let me get myself out there so I can, I can be on. Maybe I could do the Academy Awards next year if I just say enough bad words
trash.
And drop the worst stuff. Yeah.
And then there are comedians like you who are doing your comedy on Sirius XM and doing good stuff out there.
Well, I mean, I have a new story. I think it's clever. And I was with my son. We were at Walmart. And my son's very funny. And he saw
the one
a woman.
That's 29.
Still at college. God bless him. We're praying him through. But he saw a woman with a child on a leash. And he never saw that. Now, let me just say for the record, I was tempted to do that with him.
Child
he was
on
ADHD.
A leash?
Yeah, ADHD.
I was on a leash.
Good.
I was on a leash. I know about this.
What a shock. But he'd never seen that.
Right.
He walks up to the woman holding the leash with the child on it and said, "Aw, is that a rescue?" Is that funny or what?
That's funny.
And she was not happy.
Not happy.
He said, "Oh, Mama, she was not happy." And I said, "My gosh, I'm like, I don't know you."
But I'm going to use this the next time I can.
Thanks for the story.
Yes.
Yeah, listen, that gets one of the biggest laughs, you know. Of course, it's, it has to be appropriately positioned.
Right.
In the part of my speech. But, I collect funny stories. We just had our dedication of our Harmony United Methodist Church wing, and we had our ministers back. And one of the ministers, I thought, oh my goodness, he was so funny. He had a guy knock on his door and say, "Preacher, pray for me. I got the devil in me. I got the devil in me." And Steve said, "Pray for him, And he said, "Man, you mind running me down to this little convenience store?" And Steve said, "No, I don't mind." Took him to the convenience store, got back in the car. "Oh, preacher, pray for me again. I got the devil in me. I got the devil." He was all upset. And Steve prayed for him again. He said, "You mind running me to this next?" Happened three times. Steve said, "Man, I got to get back to my office. I have a job." The next day, there was a knock on his door. And there was two cops that were looking for the driver of this car that was involved in three robberies yesterday. He was driving the getaway car.
And he didn't even know it.
And his comment was, "Man, I was trying to get this guy into the pearly gates, and he almost got me into the prison gates." So that's the kind of comedy I think that's funny. It's real. That happened. I have a humor coach that we kind of buff it up a little bit and maybe do a little something to it, but not change it to the point where it's not true. It's all true.
Right.
But to me, that's clever. I mean, so that's the kind of stuff that I love to talk about in the world of comedy and storytelling and speaking. I like to pack that in.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of like your book.
Yeah. I think that's in the book somewhere. I don't know if it's in that one or the other one. It all runs together.
Rhinestones on my flip-flop.
And we're doing a cool giveaway, by the way.
What's the giveaway?
Cool giveaway. I have bought a pair, and it's not genuine, but a pair of pearls. And with rhinestones. And it's beautiful.
Right.
And the earrings to match. And the two books. And I'm posting it tonight on social media. It'll be up tomorrow, rather.
Okay.
And if you want to enter to win, and it's about telling us your best Mother's Day story.
Oh, that's a good
one.
And
you'll have a chance to win the pearls and the rhinestone necklace with the matching earrings and two books autographed.
That is fun. So, where do they go on social media?
Go to my Facebook page. It'll be up tomorrow at noon. And Jane Jenkins Herlong. Just go to my page. I have three pages. One's Pearls of Laughter, and the other one is The Fabulous Flip-Flop Friends. And you'll see it posted there. So enter to win. That's a fun little contest.
That's cute.
And then in the summertime, I'm going to ask for your favorite story where you persevered through a flip-flop, a personal flip-flop. And we're going to have a limited amount, but we are going to send those folks who persevered and learned a lesson, a pair of flip-flops in their size, and some rhinestones to glue on.
Oh, cool.
Isn't that fun?
That is fun.
Yeah, it's been a fun title.
Yeah, it's very, 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 very good. You know, I liked April was Humor Month.
Yes, and Barnes & Noble put my book for like $1.99. For 2 weeks, they lowered the price, and that's been fun. So I was really honored that they selected it. That's why a major publisher, compared to a smaller publisher, they have longer arms.
Sure.
Those are these arms going out. So that's the cool part about it.
Well, just out of curiosity, how many books do you think you've sold? Do you have any idea?
I
know, 690. You've got it down to the last one.
You know what? I checked it. It's been a while ago, but they get a big order.
Right.
And then I can tell that I haven't met my quota for my advance. And they said it will come. It's going to take about a year to meet that advance quota. But we're doing pretty good from last I saw. So it was pretty good. I think I was at, I want to say, I don't know, maybe 3,000 or 4,000. I might have read it wrong. I'm not positive. So I was going to actually call them to ask them, how do you read this?
Right.
But they're pleased, and that's all I know. And they're really pleased that
they haven't asked for the advance back.
Gosh. that's been spent on publicity, social media. Oh, my goodness. That is gone. I hope Thomas isn't listening. I spent every cent of it, and then some. There's another girl that signed the same time I did. And I said, girl, I'm done. She said, honey, I'm on zero. But you believe in it.
Well, you have to.
Because it's a great message.
Yeah, you
and
have
it's for
to.
Every age woman, from newlywed or younger, all the way through life, using these biblical women. And it's not preachy. It's fun. Because I'm glad you like it, Anne.
Yeah, absolutely.
Good.
I think it's very interesting. I think that everybody can find something in there that they relate to.
I think so too.
And I like the wow women though.
I love the
women
wow.
of wisdom.
Yes.
And you know, our friends quite often, maybe not all of them, but each one contributes to that wisdom that can help you through something. And sometimes when you are in the middle of something, you can't see the forest.
You are so, so right. You are so hung up in the trees, the pixels of the picture.
Right.
And you lose the picture.
Exactly.
And you don't get it, and you get stuck. And it is so frustrating, really frustrating. But you've got to get these folks to gently nudge you out of it. And those are those wise women. I remember when we were going through this lawsuit with my family, I would sit down with Miss Sally Hankel, and she's in the book. She's Coburg Dairy Hankel. And she would look at me, and she'd been through a tremendous amount of flip-flops in her marriage and everything. And she would look at me and say, you have a wonderful husband and wonderful children. You celebrate that. You have had your hand in creating that. This other stuff you were born into. You remember that. You go and enjoy your family. And we are a close family. I mean, I miss Holmes. He's at Clemson, like I said, and Caroline lives in the and Drew, her husband, live behind us in the little pond house. They're renovating it, and it looks real cute, but they're going to eventually move out. I realize that, but it's so nice to have them close. And she was vacuuming underneath my bed this morning, getting that new mattress in because we ran out of time. But she's such a sweet child, and I just feel very honored to be a mother, because for so long I couldn't have children.
Well, you know, I think it's real interesting, Jane, you are listening to WCRS. You dedicated your book, Rhinestones on My Flip-Flops. This book is dedicated to the greatest blessings in my life, my wonderful husband, Thomas, and my two children, Holmes Herlong and Carolyn Herlong Turner. Thank you for giving me rhinestones of love and laughter as we continue to find joy in the midst of life's flip-flops on our amazing journey as a family.
Right.
And you know, I think that's so true. Sometimes we forget that we are on journeys and that we have those that are right there beside us sometimes, and we don't even realize it.
And we have valleys and we have peaks and we have wonderful family moments, and we have times when we just go, those taillights going would be really nice right now. And we have to realize what's important and keep that big picture in front of us of doing the right thing and trying to let your children see your character, your qualities. I always said to Caroline, you are so fortunate that your daddy has given you a sense of being a woman, a healthy concept of femininity. So many girls are ruining their lives by trying to find daddy, and they can't find daddy, and they'll never find daddy.
Right.
But daddy has given you a healthy concept of being a woman. And I hope I'm doing that for my son as a woman in him for his future. We always pray for that person Holmes brings home, you know, like, oh my. He's a different thinker. He's a lot different from me. He's I'm conservative. He's not. And I keep saying, what happened? I have conservative ovaries. I don't know what happened here. But, you know, I love him more than I care about that.
Yeah.
And Thomas and I feel the same way. We're proud of both of them. Holmes has been longer to mature, but he is funny. And Caroline is, she's got such a sweet, tender spirit. So I'm so proud of that. But we had to be those people for them to see. These kids, what you see, they have to get. And if they don't see the real, that's why they say, you know, the PK kids, the preacher kids, preachers one way, at home another. We want to consistently show the Christian home through our personal lives. And that is hard.
It's particularly hard in today's world.
Yes.
Very hard in today's world.
It was very hard on us, too. Like you said, but today you are so right. Today is tough. And Holmes doesn't go to church. You know, and it grieves us as parents. But, you know, I just keep believing that God's going to, he has his hand on his life. And we just have to let that go. You have to let go of so many things. Oh, you'll go crazy.
You're absolutely right.
You'll go crazy.
Jane Jenkins Herlong, it is always a pleasure to have you come
down
and have a real conversation. And I think we had a great conversation.
We did, Anne, and I thank you for all that you do because it means a lot to so many people. And you just keep trying and striving, and it's a blessing to so many.
Thank you very much,
Jane. You're welcome, honey.
All right, this is WCRS. That's going to do it for us. Bye-bye, everybody.